Redneck Saved My Life last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like in that song. But
Someone Saved My Life Tonight?
That one, and also Last Night a DJ Saved My Life.
Oh, okay.
That's a little dancier.
Oh, okay.
Neither of them are contemporary choices.
No.
But I was on my way home from work, and as I like to do on Friday when the liquor store is still open by my house, I go through the drive-thru and get my order.
Yeah.
So I don't have to get out. They've got a new guy there who does not know what's going on.
Okay.
And I was like, I'll go inside. I'll go inside. It's fine. I come back out, locked my keys in my car.
Oh, shit.
It is last day of June in Kentucky. It is, I don't know if you went outside at all yesterday. It was disgusting.
Yes, I had to go to work and stuff, and it was awful.
Yeah, I had to like kind of just wander around in that because it never subsided, even at night.
Oh, that does suck. I assume that it got better at night.
Yeah, usually it does. No, it did not. But thankfully, there was a fellow there in the car next to me trying to, like he was trying to fit his weed cartridge to his little tube or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me if I needed help. And then when he got out of the car, I was like, oh, this man does not have a shirt.
Excellent.
Yeah. I looked at his tattoos and we introduced ourselves. His name was Michael, and I'm Jeremy from the Raincoat Report.
I hope that that's how you introduce yourself.
I've been giving people my card.
Excellent.
Yeah. No. So this guy's he's a friendly little fella. He offers to help me get into my car, but we don't have a hanger, so first I have to get in his car and go with him to my house. The whole way I was like, oh man, this my guy might stab me, but he seems cool. He doesn't have a shirt. He seems like the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get back with no incident. We are working diligently to somehow pop the lock with my hanger that's pretty feeble. It's more wire than metal. It's kind of, you know, it's not a heavyweight wire hanger like the kind you would have beat a child with. You know?
Right.
I
like that that's your frame of reference.
I've seen Mommy Dearest.
Fair enough.
So many times. That's all I know what they're for. but we're trying and failing, and I'm just like soaked and drenched in sweat. And so is my shirtless friend. From the line, there's a man who calls out and says that he has a pump bag at home. And if we're not in any rush, he will go get it and come back. So I'm like, yes, of course. I begin to doubt that he will return, but eventually he's back. He's got his pump bag, and I'm really seeing him for the first time. He's maybe like in his, what do you call him, your early 40s? Yeah, he's maybe in his early 40s, and has like a facial tattoo of like a moon/skull on like one side of his face.
Okay.
And when he talks, he sounds almost exactly like Boomhauer. But, we got in, but the whole time he would just be like saying stuff. And I'd be like, yep, that's right, buddy. Just kind of politely laughing. I did make out. He's like, you know, I've done this more times than I like to admit, for the right and wrong reasons. And I'm like, oh boy.
Oh man.
At another point, like while we were like in the middle of the process, a woman appeared in her car and seemed a little inebriated and kind of interjected in the situation.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, I can get you some help. My friend works for Jackrabbit. You can get it half price. And I'm like, no, we're good. We've got the whole crew here. Yeah. So that's why I didn't watch the movie until three in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a late start recording today. I guess it's just because Jeremy's a man of the people.
Yeah.
But he got his problem solved.
And I learned a lesson. You can always depend on the kindness of strangers.
Aw.
Yeah.
Speaking of the kindness of strangers and depending on it, young girls do.
Yes. Oh, and this is the Raincoat Report.
Yes, and this is Boss here with Jeremy, not with Stephanie this week.
No, my tooth is gone.
Yeah, what did you do?
The dentist took it.
Oh.
I didn't take care of it, and the they took it into protective custody. No, but I like it. I kind of have like I have like a new look, you know, because it's kind of visible.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't really notice it until you try to show it off.
Yeah, but I have to like turn my head a bit, but if we ever film anything, I think that'll be like that'll add a dimension to whatever character I'm playing.
Yeah, it's a good character trait.
Yeah, I'm born to be a character.
You are a character for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to have you on the Raincoat Report with me.
Thank you. And listener, we're glad to have you as well. And if you would like to be a kind stranger upon which we can depend, $5 a month at patreon.com/raincoatreport will help us achieve that goal.
Yes. Last week we covered the first episode of the Sex Factor, mm-hmm. ex-hamsters porn reality series. Jeremy was supposed to cover it with us, but because his tooth was rotting in his skull, it was me and Stephanie. But Jeremy will join us when we talk about future episodes.
Yeah, I did watch the episode to make sure, and I'm a little disappointed that I missed them kick off that furious masturbator.
Well, goons don't get the respect that they used to.
Nope, they're... nope, there's just no, you know... It's despised. It's looked down upon. But, yeah, that's the intro. And we're talking young girls do.
Yes, so young girls do. We'll talk a little bit about that. That is a 1984 film directed by Bob Fosse, mm-hmm. who also directed Sex Wars. Did we cover that on the podcast?
We have not covered Sex Wars. I know we've covered another Bob Fosse film.
Do you know which one it was?
It wasn't Psychoanal Therapy. That would be cool, though.
It wasn't Debbie for President or Debbie Goes to Hawaii or Debbie Class of 88 or Debbie Class of 89.
It has. He directed one I sent you that we didn't.
Debbie Goes to College.
No, Yank My Doodle, It's a Dandy.
Debbie Does Them All.
I know we've watched something by him. It's going to drive me crazy.
See, I thought that we had two.
I'm not seeing anything, though. Debbie Does Dishes. Yeah, you know, sex, naughty girls like it big, doctor. Leave all this in.
He directed 1001 Nights, which is not the same as 1001 Erotic Nights.
No.
Oh, and this is directed by Bob Fosse and Joe D'Amato.
Oh. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Yep. That's what IMDb says.
This movie?
No. Oh. 1001 Nights.
Okay.
From 1995.
I could swear we had covered a Bob Fosse film, but looking over his filmography, I see nothing.
Well, this is why we get paid the big bucks to study pornography, because we have great memories.
My memory's okay, but not as good as it used to be.
Well, you know, all of this pornography rattling in our skulls and all of this brown filling in.
I've got what they call online, it's called porn brain.
Oh,
become
yeah.
porn-brained. It's not good. And you're a coomer.
A coomer?
Yeah. It's someone who just loves to come.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Coomer. Okay, coomer. Cause that's, they'll say that to you if you talk about porn, like they would if you were talking to a boomer.
Harold and Coomer go to White Castle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's a weird thing to be a derogatory phrase.
Well, there's a lot of people on the internet who pride themselves on not masturbating ever.
Yeah, those people are dumb.
Yeah, they're deranged. Let's not talk about them anymore.
No, instead, let's talk about young girls who have a positive attitude, because they do.
Yes, young college girls.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that these are really young women.
Yeah, yeah. They're little women.
Yeah.
Lisa May Alcott. I think she wrote that.
Anyhow, this film stars the lovely and talented Shannon McCullough, who we've seen in several films.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taking the lead role here, alongside Erica Boyer, who, according to the synopsis, this film is based upon her experiences. I don't know what that really means.
Have you Are you looking at that on IMDb?
No.
Okay. On IMDb, the summary is written by Erica B.
Okay.
Which makes me wonder if she wrote it herself.
Perhaps. Yeah, now that I'm looking at that.
Yeah. But it does make mention at the beginning of the film itself that it's like based on her, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I watched this 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, my notes are fresh. But all the same.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does actually say that on screen.
Okay, good, good. I knew I had not. I watched it fairly recently. I was in too much pain to enjoy pornography the week before.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're here with fresher eyes, and I have less fresh eyes, but I have a bunch of notes, so it's all going to work out.
I've got a fresh eyes and a fresh wound.
Yes. So, yeah, in addition to Shannon McCullough and Erica Boyer, we have some gentlemen joining us that we will all recognize. Of course, the lovely and talented Paul Thomas is back.
Mm-hmm. Up to his old tricks.
Yeah, as Rick. And we have Herschel Savage as Fred. And Jacqueline Lorienz is here as well. And a long cast of other characters, mostly those that I'm not too familiar with.
Yeah. John Martin shows up for a little bit.
Oh, Lily Marlene is here, mm-hmm. who we saw not only in The Young Like It Hot, but in the most one of our most recent episodes, Little Show-Offs.
Yes. Also, of course, you got John Seaman.
Oh, yeah.
Blair Harris. Don Fernando pops in.
Oh, yeah. I missed some of these people.
It's been a while. It's
Billy D's here, yeah.
Yeah, Billy D. Williams. He's here. He's advertising, was it Cobra? Colt 45.
Yeah. Oh, Lando.
Man, I want some Cobra. It's been a long time. I'm going to get a six-pack of Cobra.
All right, so, yeah, it's Young Girls Do from 1984. We're going to talk about it, and I guess now's as good a time as any.
To take a break
so we could go get some Colt 45.
Yeah, but first I have something to say.
Okay.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Some girls won't, but young girls do. Before Brown, you'll be a party clown.
That is what they say.
Yeah. We've got Boss here who's about to mix his browns, which is fine.
Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, get sick quicker.
No. Brown before Brown, you'll be a party clown.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and start having some fun by talking about Young Girls Do. Which, again, we're talking about young women.
Yeah, no, we're in a different time now.
Yes.
They call them young girls anymore. They need to be called young persons.
Oh, yeah.
Young persons do.
We'll use that for our remake.
Okay. Well, I think we can just use it today and be the change we want to see.
Oh, yeah. Well, the film opens with a title card on screen that says, "The film you are about to see is based on the true life events of X-rated film star Erica Boyer. The names and faces have been changed to protect the guilty." Then we open on some jammy 80s rock and some hand-drawn title cards that are pretty cool.
Yes, 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 yes.
As the title cards cycle through, we open on a group of young women at what appears to be a party, pouring drinks and eating potato chips. They're discussing boys and such. And it's here that we learn that Mary Ann, who again is Shannon McCullough's character, is going to California for school, and the other girls are jealous. But Marianne notes that the boys in California are gay anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes back later in the film.
It's prophetic.
The girls are all trying on different clothes. Marianne and another lady come back into the room dressed like guys with leather jackets. And they come in to be dominant towards the other women in the room, role-playing as macho guys. And then they start to have their ways with the other ladies, especially Marianne. Marianne starts to go down on one of the ladies, and the other girls make fun of her for seeming like she's done that before. And then they pull Marianne away from the girl that she was going down on, who starts crying and asking why she didn't pull her away sooner. Though it's worth noting that, like, there was no protest up to that point, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is why explicit consent is important.
She was eager for it, let's say. Now, it's a Rod Stewart poster in the background. That's pretty cool. I noticed that. I think I noticed that maybe more than like the sex that was happening on screen at this point.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I was thinking back to when I met Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That giant bar of metal that I found in the woods and kept at your house.
Yes.
I took it everywhere. It was full of dirt and bugs, I believe. But,
much like you.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. I spray painted it black, and remember I smashed up that microwave?
Yeah, you smashed up a microwave really good with it.
Yeah, you probably still have that video somewhere.
I wish I did. I don't think I do.
It's very sad.
It is. It's a sad life that we live. A life full of loss and disappointment.
Just like, yeah, because I left Rod Stewart, I think, like, in your yard.
Oh,
that
yeah.
House, and now he's gone.
Gone forever, but well, not forgotten.
No, this is I wanted to think about him, and dedicate this to him.
Toast to Rod Stewart.
Hooray.
The metal rod that you smashed a microwave with.
Hooray. And I would take it hiking.
Oh, yeah.
And I would hit it against trees, and I'd go boing, 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 boing. Well, yeah, like this.
That's the sound it made?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
It's the sound of the bugs.
So we cut to Marianne jogging with her tennis racket to school, where she is stopped by her tennis coach, I guess it is, Lily Provo, played by mm-hmm. Lily Marlene.
Okay.
They chit-chat, and Lily tells Marianne that she's going to miss her. Marianne says that she'll miss her, too. And then they start to softly make out and caress each other as the porno music kicks in.
Mm-hmm. Which has a lot of jingle bells in this one.
Yeah, it does.
I'm bringing it back. You probably forgot, but
yeah,
it's still in my head. Now, since this movie is supposedly based on the life of Erica Boyer, did Erica Boyer get molested by her gym teacher?
That's a great question that we don't have the answer to for sure, but it certainly makes you think.
Yeah. I'm trying to like view this as kind of like, you know, like, you would like a biopic, like a modern biopic in a sense.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We need to get to the heart of the situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm cutting to the heart.
This is our hard-hitting reporting from the Raincoat Report.
Yeah, and it's also intense experimental surgery from the Raincoat Institute.
Oh.
Yeah. It's tough to get to the heart.
Oh, yeah. So Marianne's a bit timid at first, but starts to get more into it. Lily pulls up Marianne's top and licks and tweaks Marianne's nipples. She works her way down Marianne's body and licks her stomach and navel before pulling down her gym shorts and kissing her thighs. She then pulls aside Marianne's panties and starts to go down on her. They make out a bit more and Lily undresses. Marianne pulls her top the rest of the way off and Marianne licks and sucks Lily's nipples. Lily returns the favor. Marianne's panties are finally discarded, and Lily goes down on her directly. The ladies lay on their sides, and Marianne starts to go down on Lily. They eventually make out, and then we cut to an airplane taking off.
Yeah, that's it. That's her one wonderful night with her gym teacher.
But it's not her only lustful night, as we'll find out.
No, she's going to have 1,001 lustful nights.
Oh, yeah. More or less.
just with Joe D'Amato and Bob Vossi. So this was a pretty decent scene. They seem to have pretty good chemistry together.
Yeah.
For it. I think the track starts over at some point.
That sounds right.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, we see a plane taking off, and on the plane we see Mary Ann sitting down next to John Martin.
Yep.
Who we always know is up to no good.
No, he's sometimes up to okay good. He just wants a hot lunch.
Well, that's fair. So they're chatting. They have some champagne and continue to chat. She talks about how it's her first time away from home, going to San Francisco for college. John continues to load her up with alcohol. And after they finish the bottle, he suggests that they go to the galley in the back to find more. And they walk back together. John then invites her into his private office, which is the bathroom.
Yeah. Maybe that's the Happy Days reference that it's referring to.
Oh, maybe.
But, he takes her into the toilet, and a nice sleazy guitar rock riff introduces us to them very quickly making out.
Yeah, this seems far bigger than I'd expect an airplane bathroom to be, but I've never actually been in one.
The times I've been on a flight, I think I've just held it.
Yes.
I've never been on a flight that's been more than, like, 2 or 3 hours, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not well traveled.
She notes that he's trying to get her drunk, and before you know it, as you said, they're making out and caressing one another. He unbuttons her top. She says that she's never been with a guy before, and he tells her it's okay. He'll make it real good for her.
And he does.
They start to undress, and Marianne tells John she doesn't want to be a virgin anymore, and he says, good. He sucks and licks her nipples a bit, and before long, he's on his knees eating her out as she stands in front of him. Marianne licks and kisses John's body and works her way down to his cock, which she licks and sucks. He bends her over and fucks her in doggy position as she leans over the toilet. John then sits down on the closed toilet seat and she squats to ride him reverse cowgirl. We cut to them fucking and standing doggy, and eventually he pulls out and strokes out a big load on Marianne's ass.
It's gonna pop.
The plane is apparently landing as he has her take another swig of champagne.
And he leaves her abandoned and drunk at
the terminal.
LAX. I don't know what fucking airport she's at.
Yeah, who knows? Terminal. Whatever San Francisco airport is.
Oh, SFD? Maybe. I don't know. I worked at UPS for years. I had to memorize a lot of these.
Well, we then cut to campus. Marianne is making her way around the place, looking at ads for rooms for rent on a big board. She finds one offering lodging at a professor's place for light housework. We then cut to her being shown around a place by Wanda Rue, who I believe is unnamed in the film. Yes, but she's
just a very random character who comes and goes.
Yeah, she is, according to IMDb, just in this movie.
That's fair.
Oh, but if you go to the Internet Adult Film Database, she was also in Blue Vanity's 316, Golden Girls Film 168, and Seductress Film 32, all in 83... and 84. Although Blue Vanities was from 316, but it notes that this is archival footage.
Thank you. That's the entire career of Lou LaRoe.
Wanda Rue.
Okay.
So, it's at this point that the professor who owns the place comes home and is introduced to Marianne. Back at school, Marianne is jogging and intercepted by Rick, played by Paul Thomas, who invites her to play tennis. She tells him that she doesn't play tennis, although it's important to note that she had her tennis racket earlier when she was at home, so it's clear that she's lying to him.
There's also constantly in the background of this film in different locations just big posters of tennis stars of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But she tells him that she has to meet her professor anyway, so Marianne enters the professor's office and realizes it's the same professor she's renting from. I expected that to become important in the plot somehow, but it doesn't really.
No, yeah, I'll just nip that in the bud here. It doesn't. I spent half the film waiting for him to get his cock out.
Yeah, so she's meeting there with her partner for this assignment. It's apparently a group assignment, a two-person assignment.
Yeah, you can, so, group projects. You ever have those?
Yeah, I hated them.
Yeah, me too, because I did all the work.
So her partner for this assignment is Erica Thompson, played by Erica Boyer.
Oh.
The professor is going over the assignment, which is sexual experimentation and its worth.
I don't understand why they made a movie about Erica Boyer, cast her in it, but didn't cast her as herself.
I don't know. I think maybe she wanted somebody else to... Maybe she wanted to concentrate on the creative stuff.
She didn't write it. At least not based on the name they give.
I guess that's true.
She just ghost wrote it, probably.
Yeah, who knows?
That's fucked up.
But they have to, for this project, read some chapters from a book and then are rushed out and asked to send in the next couple of students. So as they're leaving the office, Erica and Marianne are discussing the project. Marianne asks what kind of experimentation they're going to read about, and Erica says they're not going to find anything experimental in that book. And she suggests that Marianne look at this, which is Screw Magazine.
Yeah, it's in like the form of a newspaper.
Unfortunately, there's no time at the moment to read Goldstein's manifesto because Erica has to go to work. Erica explains that she dances. Marianne asks what kind of dancing, and Erica invites her along, offering to show her. Indeed, it's at an erotic dance club, although nobody totally strips here, so I don't know. It's kind of like...
cabaret.
Yeah, it's like a burlesque type stuff.
Sure, yeah. This is not like a cabaret. There's not big complicated musical numbers. There's no Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. But Erica's told that she's supposed to go on in 5 minutes because somebody else didn't show up. So we then get to see Erica's performance to what sounds like a knockoff of Beat It. There's a couple watching up front, and apparently the lady of the couple wants Erica, so the guy generously tips her. Backstage, Marianne congratulates Erica on a job well done, and the guy who tipped her congratulates her also on a job well done, noting that he and Norma Jean, the lady he's with, loved her, and he wants to make a video of her and Norma Jean and put it on every TV in the country.
Yeah, like on MTV.
Yeah.
People are always ripping off Beat It.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's a jam.
It was a hit.
After the guy leaves, Marianne asks Erica who that guy was, and she says she doesn't know, but who cares? He tipped $100. Marianne gasps at this large tip. Erica offers to show Marianne some sex magazines. And then we cut to Marianne jogging again, getting again harassed by Rick. This time she is receptive and follows him to his place to get a racket. They arrive at Rick's place, and she looks at some trophies he's got. He's apparently the captain of the varsity tennis team.
So he's in college?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
He doesn't look college-aged. He looks professor-aged.
I mean, that's fair enough. she suggests that he teach her some. So he asks when she wants to start, and they decide to do so after taking a drink. He hands her a racket and starts to coach her on her form, asking her to bend her knees. She asks him to show her, and he comes up behind her and puts his arms around her. It takes no time for this to become a bit sexual, and they start to make out.
Yeah. She's all about giving it up.
Yeah, Rick pulls up Marianne's shirt and starts to squeeze her breasts as he continues to make out with her. Once Marianne's bra is tossed aside, Rick sucks on her nipples, and she soon discards the rest of her clothes, leading to Rick going down on Marianne. First as he is down on his knees, and then as she lays on the nearby bed. They get into it with Erica grinding against his face a bit. He suggests that she work on her strokes and keep her eyes on the ball as he pulls out his cock. He sweet-talks her about how pretty she is and encourages her as she licks and sucks his cock.
This is all before her first lesson.
Yes. This is her first lesson.
Oh.
She's got to keep her eyes on the ball and work on her stroke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
After a couple of minutes of fellatio, Rick mounts her from behind and starts to fuck her doggy style.
She has to learn to serve.
He gives her his patented Paul Thomas pounding from behind for a bit before laying her on her back on the bed for some additional pounding. Finally, he pulls out and comes all over Marianne's belly. Back at the club, Erica's dancing. The crowd appears to be clapping, but we hear boos.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes we do. They hate her.
Backstage, Marianne wants to talk to Erica about their project, but Erica is upset about the crowd reaction, and Marianne says that she can leave now. They stop to talk a bit about Erica's issues and decide to read through a sex magazine a bit. Seems like a bunch of classified ads that they're seeing.
Oh.
Erica then suggests that they should call the guy that wanted to make a video of Erica. Erica says that she's going to give him a video that he'd never forget. So, Marianne gives Erica a coin, and they use the payphone to call the guy, who we learn is named Chuck. He says that his offer for a video is still on, $500 in cash. So they decide to meet up in an hour. We soon cut to the video shoot, and the other lady, Norma Jean, who we were introduced to earlier, she's chained up to some bars, and she's wearing this fur coat, some heels, and not much else.
Yes.
Erica is in a leather top and a collar and has some belts wrapped around her. She has this leather strap in her hand. A weird 80s electro version of Ring of Fire starts playing.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, I was like, oh, this sounds cool. This sounds like Wall of Voodoo, and that's who it is.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm sure legally licensed.
Of course.
So
it works well for the scene, though. I do like this whole scene with the song.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome and hot.
Yeah, it's a good, like, new wave kind of influence scene. We need to check out the new wave hookers.
Oh, yeah.
I need to see what they're up to.
Probably some new wave...
Hooking,
yeah. Erica circles Norma Jean and plays with her a bit, brushing and taunting her with the leather strap. She produces a metallic vibrator and rubs it on Norma Jean's body a bit before licking her pubic hair a bit, and then her nipples. Chuck watches in excitement as he's recording this. After a bit, we see Erica softly patting Norma Jean's vagina with the strap. She produces a chain that she latches around Norma Jean's neck. Norma Jean is unchained from the bars, and Erica drags her to her knees, where she starts to give Erica oral as she grinds into her face a bit. Norma Jean bends over, and Erica paddles her ass to some screams that sound disproportionately intense to the level of spanking that she's getting.
There's some odd dubbing choices in this film.
Yeah. Erica unzips her top, and Norma Jean licks her nipples a bit. She produces some nipple clamps that she teases herself with a bit before fastening one side of the chained pair to Norma Jean's chain collar and leaving the other side to just dangle. Erica starts to go down on Norma Jean, pulling on the nipple clamp chain to pull her around a bit. The scene kind of abruptly ends shortly thereafter. We cut to Marianne walking into Rick's apartment, and she is shocked to find him holding and caressing another man.
Yes.
She
thought a tennis player was straight.
She makes the other man, Zach, leave and pushes him out the door, asking what he's doing to him. Rick yells that he'll call Zach later as he's pushed out the door.
What you're about to do is against the law in Alabama?
Oh, yeah. Marianne tells Rick she doesn't understand. She thought he loved her. He tells her he does and explains it's possible to love a woman and a man at the same time.
She disagrees.
She disagrees by screaming no and walking out. Running out, even.
Yeah.
We then cut back to the dance club, where Marianne is distraught when she meets up with Erica. Erica gives Marianne a drink and asks about what's wrong, and Marianne says that it's that homosexual Zach.
Wow. So the problem is with him and not with Paul, with Rick.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Rick's not gay, just the gay guy.
Yeah, the gay guy tricked him.
Yeah. Erica is confused and says that she thought that she had been talking to Rick. And at that point, Marianne refers to Zach by a slur.
Yeah.
And explains that she caught him with Rick, and Rick says that he loves Zach and her. She adds, in honor of Pride Month, that all gays should be shot or castrated.
Great.
Yeah.
Glad we're getting this one in on July 1st.
Yeah.
It's officially hate month.
Oh, boy.
She's
so, yeah.
really lashing out in anger for someone who had got molested by her gym teacher. I think that's it.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, it. I don't know, because she was, I mean, she did have sex with Rick, but, like,
Once,
yeah.
As far as we know.
And that was the only time that she had been with him at all.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like,
she brushed him off when he talked to her once before then. Then she talked to and had sex with him, and then the second time that she went to his place.
I guess her problem, really, it's not with, like, promiscuity. She just hates gays. That must be it.
Yes.
I think that's it. Not cool, Marianne.
No, not cool.
Marianne, for you, bonk of the week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, while you were gone, Stephanie gave a bonk of the week last week to the goon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he deserved it. Oh, yeah, bonk of the week for my old tooth.
Oh, but, yeah.
It's gone. It's passed.
Erica tries to call Marianne, saying that being with a guy is a totally different thing. Marianne snarls, why? Because they want to get fucked in the ass or fuck a guy in the ass? She says, well, I wouldn't want to be gay. Fuck them all. It's wild.
Yeah, it's a real rant.
Erica then fantasizes about being a gay guy, which confuses Marianne. Erica and Marianne are on very different pages in this conversation.
They really, Erica's sidelined, even though she's the much more interesting character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica says that it's so experimental being gay. She says, I know I could. Marianne says that she wouldn't ever want to be with a girl, but Erica clarifies that she would want to be a gay guy.
She's been with a girl.
She says that she wants to push down her breasts, wear a mustache. You're right. Marianne has been with a girl.
Several girls. They were at that party at the beginning, too.
Yeah.
This is fucked up.
Marianne is confused and says that Erica would never get away with it. And Erica says that she could. She knows she could pull it off. So then we cut to the streets, where Erica is dressed as quite a gigolo in a leather jacket with a mustache, strolling down the streets.
Yeah, she's going cruising.
Yes. She then picks up a guy, played by Billy Dee, who is leaning against the wall, and takes him inside a beat-up place that they're at. Billy Dee notes that he hadn't seen her, or this person, there before. She compliments his prick, and he compliments hers, of course, her pants still being on. She tells him to pull his prick out, and he does, and she goes down and starts to suck him off. She's sucking him pretty hard. He calls her a bad boy, and she keeps going. After a bit, he asks her to fuck him in the ass with her big cock, but she tells him to fuck her ass instead, and he agrees.
Yes. He's none the wiser.
Erica is bent over a table, and Billy Dee fucks her ass a bit, standing. He pounds away, and after a couple minutes, he pulls out and comes on her ass. Erica reaches back and rubs the cum in, and they lightly kiss. And apparently, she got away with her ruse.
Yeah, she did a good job.
We then cut to Marianne reading a sexy paper. She reads an ad wanting avant-garde nude modeling. Wanda Rue then walks in with a Barbie doll and a Ken doll in her hands.
Strange character.
I don't know. I think this, like, falls into that kind of thing that we see in movies of the time that's, like, disrespectful of people of different cultures, as Wanda Rue is Asian and has an accent.
Yeah.
And therefore she is treated like a dumb child.
Yeah, I think so. She's very odd choices.
She asks what Marianne is doing, and Marianne explains she's doing research for her project, studying the physiological responses of males entering mating season. In this case, she clarifies, it's a bachelor party for surfers. Apparently, Wanda doesn't just have a mild language barrier, but she's a bit dim. Marianne uses the dolls to explain men and women liking each other and what a bachelor party is. Marianne then invites Wanda along with her. Despite the fact that I would question her ability to give consent at this point.
Yeah, she seems maybe, yeah, like you said, a little dim.
So then we cut to the bachelor party, and the bachelor here is Fred, played by Herschel Savage.
Yep, there he is.
His friends have gotten him a present, a new board. So they carry out the surfboard, but on top of the surfboard, Marianne is naked, and they all cheer. Wanda follows them out, and the ladies are immediately blowing the guys, with Marianne blowing Fred. Wanda rides a guy's cock while she sucks off another guy. Marianne is now stroking another guy as she sucks Fred's cock. Wanda lays back on a stool and gets fucked by Fred for a bit as Marianne sucks and strokes a couple of the other guys as she rides another's cock. There's a rad Cheap Trick poster on the wall.
Yeah, don't think I missed that.
Wanda straddles Fred's face as Marianne rides his cock and the ladies make out. Fred pulls out and Wanda finishes him off, stroking him with her hand. Another guy finishes on Marianne's shoulder and another on Wanda's face. Marianne is riding another dude's cock who pulls out and strokes to finish on her ass. Another dude is fucking Marianne's face when he pulls out and comes on her face and shoulders. We then cut to the campus. Marianne and Erica are laughing. Marianne notes that's the most fun she's ever had writing a paper. Erica says she doesn't care if they flunked. It was worth it.
They flunked?
Well, in fact, they look at the posted scores, and they were the only ones to get an A. So they celebrate as they run off and we get our credits.
All right. I forgot they were like in the class at some point because the professor never showed back up.
Yeah. No, Erica, I think Erica was just saying she doesn't care even if they flunk.
Okay, I got you. Erica, it seems like, had a much better time overall.
Yeah.
But
other than that one time when she got booed.
Yeah, well, you know, she kind of sucked at dancing.
Yeah, well, I mean, she got $500 to make that video and seemed to have fun making it, so.
Yeah.
She came out on top in the end.
There's a silver lining there. And there's a silver lining here.
Yes.
The show's over.
Not exactly. Oh. We're just going to take a small break here, and then we'll be back for the final part of our episode about Young Girls Do. You had to be a big shot, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had to open up your mouth.
It was so much fun to be around.
We're back on the Raincoat Report, talking young girls too. Talking Young Girls Do, not yeah. Young Girls 2, the sequel to Young Girls.
Yeah, no, the Richard Goodbye film.
No, we are talking about Young Girls Do, and it's time once again for
the Raincoat Review.
I like that you left the laugh in. That's important.
Yes.
This film was a, you know, pretty average porno film, I would say, especially by this era it's in, 84.
Yeah.
Nothing groundbreaking or revolutionary here, but generally, there's some fun to be had. I would say 80% of the fun in this film is with Erica Boyer's character, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the S&M scene with the Wall of Voodoo, Ring of Fire song. Her romp as a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
That stuff, pretty fun. I found the Marianne Rogers portions of it a bit flat.
Yeah.
And strangely homophobic.
Yeah.
not a big fan of that, but, you know, Shannon McCulloch's good in the film, despite the shortcomings of what she was presented with.
Yeah, it's all flaws with the character, not with her performance.
Right, yeah. So the character being a bit unlikable, I think, kind of brought this one down a bit in my estimation.
Sure.
But like I said, there is some interesting stuff in it. You do get a good cast of male and female performers in it, recognizable faces, and some people we haven't quite got to yet, but are kind of hovering on the borders, your Don Fernandos and so forth.
Well, we did get the entire career of Wanda Roo.
Yeah, this is a complete works. Well, no, this isn't the complete works, well, but
this is the complete narrative film works.
We did the a retrospective on Wanda Roo.
Yes, we did.
So that's important.
We've buttoned up the Raincoat Report's exploration into Wanda Roo's career.
Yeah, it's all over now. being a fairly average porno film of the era, it was better than I expected, but still pretty much like met my level of expectations all around.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's certain stuff that's like a highlight, but it's just one of those things. I would probably give it a strong 2.5. I didn't dislike it, but it felt incomplete at times. Like certain scenes just sort of, like you said, sort of cut.
Yeah, yeah.
At different points. It's never quite clear what they're doing aside from that like one scene where they're talking about sexual experimentation.
Right.
And in my brain, it was more of a I think it might have been Pretty Peaches 2 or 3, where she gets hooked up to some sort of like orgasm machine to her head. I was expecting something like that for some reason, and that's my fault. But at the end of the day, I would say young girls do, but you don't have to.
I would say that, yeah, I mean, I agree with most of what you're saying. I would agree that Marianne as a character is kind of sour and kind of ruins things in this film in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Shannon McCullough is one of the hotter ladies of the time frame. And
yeah.
She comes across great there in that sense. And she's good in her sex scenes, even if the
sex
scenarios are kind of...
kind of played out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, she fucked John Martin in an airplane bathroom. She fucked Paul Thomas.
Yeah. She got molested by her gym coach.
Yeah. And she had the group sex at the end with her Asian friend who might not know what's happening.
Yeah. And that's not great either to me. My favorite scene with her is probably the John Martin scene, I think.
Yeah.
That or the one with the gym coach, like the two early ones.
Yeah.
After that, All Eyes Should Be on Erica.
Yeah. Overall, I'd say this is pretty average for the time frame. I think the sex scenes were good, but not like above average significantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that there were some humorous moments in it, even the unintentional humor of just like things going off the rails with unexpected homophobic, like
comments.
Weirdness.
Yeah.
It was just like,
so angry.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
But yeah, I mean, Erica Boyer's great. Those scenes you pointed out with her were great and took kind of a different spin from everything else in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon McCullough's good. The soundtrack is okay. Good at moments.
Yeah, there's unlicensed song use is one of my favorite things in old pornography. So this lived up to that.
Overall, I'm going to give it 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that it's like that great. It's probably not that much above average, but I, you know, it was fun to watch. Yeah. I would say that, you know, if you've seen all of the other stuff that we've covered,
yeah,
this is a fun way to spend a night.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's better than a lot of stuff we've covered, but it's not one of the ones I'd go out of my way to procure if you don't have it.
Yeah, if you've already watched your opening of Misty Beethoven and your Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls and your Thundercrack and
this,
even all three Pretty Peaches and all of that.
I will say the cross-dressing scene in this did remind me of that scene in Thundercrack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think that one's, like, it's not based on deception like this one, but it is, like, a woman, like, getting kind of dressed up like a man and getting her, like, big strap-on out and stuff.
Yeah, trying to seduce a gay man.
If nothing else.
Or a man more interested in men, at least.
Yeah, if nothing else, this made me want to go back and watch Thundercrack. And for that, Bonk of the Week.
All right. Well, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Raincoat Report. Once again, raincoatreport@gmail.com if you want to email us, or patreon.com/raincoatreport. We already did the ad, but that's where you go to get our Patreon.
Mm-hmm. We're going back to the depths of Pornhub this week.
Next week.
Sorry. Yeah. The schedule's off for me now.
Yeah, you had your teeth rotting, and now everything's tossed in disarray.
I had to have my tooth rot, didn't I? Tooth rot, it hurts.
So yeah, last Friday we had the Sex Factor. Next Friday, like 9 or 10 days from now, whatever. More Pornhub Roulette.
And if you're going to have to constantly drink water to keep your tooth pain at bay, don't forget your raincoat, because eventually your tummy's going to cramp up and all that water's coming back.
Uh.